Welcome back to Head Games Radio with Len Dawson. And Len, what happens? Let's talk about this. We talked with Seth Joyner about it before we go to the other games around the league. What happens if Damon Heuer does go into Miami and, if you will, stinks it up?
If he plays poorly, there'll be no question that Trent Green will start when he's able to go. And Trent is he was in uniform last week. He was a third quarterback. Yeah, there was no intention of playing him. He's going to do the same thing in Miami this Sunday. But he is getting very close to getting the clearance to go back and play full time, and you know, and in conditions under game conditions. Now, if Heuert plays extremely well, that could be another story, Nick. That really. And, you know, now's a situation, I think, when Herm Edwards, the head coach, is saying, well, I'm going to make that decision. I don't have to make it right now, but when the decision time comes, I'm going to make that decision. It's a little different than when Trent first got hurt, because when he first got hurt, he said, as soon as he can play, he's going to be in there. He's my quarterback. But Damon Heuert has done such a great job of leading this team and becoming more of a leader. He's getting more and more comfortable in every ball game. If they beat Miami on Sunday, it's going to be very, very interesting in that quarterback situation.
Here's Seth Joyner about the same subject, about whether it's chemistry that really is most important.
You can't do this in training camp to get your rhythm and your timing down with your wide receiver. It hasn't been there for 6 weeks so far, so after 10 weeks, you're going to just thrust them back in after your team is doing well. Like I said before, I don't believe that lose your job to injury. But in this case, it's a different situation. I think they have to ride Damon Heuer until Damon Heuer falters, and then it requires Herm to make that decision. And no matter what those circumstances are, I think they've just got to ride it. And you know what? You look around the league and you see it. You see it in Jacksonville. They've got to stay with Garrard. I don't care, you know, if Leonard comes back and he's 100% healthy. But they're winning with him. Why break the rhythm of what you have going on?
You know, what I find interesting, Len Dawson, is that it's almost as if we have developed this sort of set of rules that it's the ego and the self-esteem of the quarterback that's more important than the chemistry of the team.
Well, here's something to think about. Trent Green has been doing the same things that Damon Heuert has been doing in practice for the last couple of weeks. He's just not been allowed to go out and perform. So the coaching staff, you can see exactly what is happening with Trent Green every day, and they can see what it's like for him. Now, Damon Heuert does not get hit during the week, and no quarterback in the National Football League gets hit during the week. So I think that Trent Green is going to be at his best when he gets the opportunity to go back. And it's not like that he hurt his knee. It's not like he hurt his throwing arm and things like that that would impair his ability to play that position. He got knocked on the head, but that should be completely fine by now. He's got all his facilities. And so in that regard, it's not like a lot of other injuries that quarterbacks have, you know, that they can't play. And then all of a sudden, if it's an opportunity to play, the coach puts him in. But I think, you know, when Herm Edwards mentioned at his meeting 2 days ago, the chemistry is very important, just like Seth said. It is very important. So I say, I don't know what Herm is going to do, but I know it's going to be very interesting.
And turning to Miami, and a player in Joey Harrington who was basically in the street, who I think people felt had been given a thorough shot in Detroit, and then he's rejuvenated. Why is it that we see players time and time again, Len, that in one circumstances with different personalities, a different system, it doesn't work, and then suddenly in the right situation? You started with a different team, didn't you?
Yeah, I started with Pittsburgh, and then I got three years with Pittsburgh and never played, and got traded to Cleveland, was there for 2 years and never played. Then I got an opportunity to go with Hank Stram with the American Football League and the Dallas Texans and got the opportunity to play. And I got the coaching. It's interesting. You know, just because there's a quarterback coach there doesn't mean that he knows all about that position, doesn't mean that he can teach a young guy like Harrington coming in there. Now, here's a guy that was number one draft choice, had a lot of talent in college. Now you have to take that talent in the collegiate level and bring it up a notch or two to the professional level. And sometimes you don't get that. And sometimes if you're a number one draft choice, you think, hey, you know, I must be really good here. You know, they draft me number one. They gave me all this money. So, you know, I'm a big-time guy. But that's not the way it goes. You got to go out and prove it. And the thing is, maybe there was a wake-up call, and he said, hey, there's a reason they let me go in Detroit. This might be my last chance to show that I'm capable of playing here in the National Football League and get more serious about his position.
Well, we've got somebody who knows about what it's like to have expectations thrust upon them, and you had Mark Malone, Bubby Brister before that, and of course that other man with the bald head who shouts it up on television every week. I don't understand him half the time, but he kind of yucks it up a lot, so we'll give him credit for that. But you had a lot of expectations earlier in your career, and Bubby, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Nick, what's up, buddy?
Hey, you know, this is what we call Thursday Morning Quarterback with Len Dawson, and I couldn't be happier to have two guys that have seen what it's like to have a championship ring on their fingers. And, Bubby, let's first start with you. As Len said, he started with Pittsburgh. He goes to Cleveland 5 years. He's 26, 27 before he gets the right match. Tell us what you learned about going from team to team and what the essence is for a quarterback, the most important player, separate from kicker, of course, on a team. What it takes for a quarterback in terms of an offensive coordinator, in terms of the team chemistry, the culture of the team, the ownership, what's the most important thing for a quarterback to have to be successful?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say hi to Len. Len, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Bubby, and you know what that is. That's an offensive line that's going to protect your butt and
well,
give you plenty of time to throw.
You have to have a supporting cast first and foremost, and nothing else matters. If you have a supporting cast, meaning the offensive line, the defense, and the whole deal, coaches, players, owner that's willing to spend some money. When you have the total package like that, then you have a chance to succeed in that league, I feel.
Well, you know, you had to deal with different systems. What about personalities, though? Don't you feel that sometimes as a player you get an image, a stereotype? You get pigeonholed as having a certain personality, a certain talent here, a certain weakness there, and that the rest of your career, if you're not careful, you have to fight against that?
I think so. I think you're right, especially nowadays. Looking back, being drafted by the Steelers and Tom Moore being my offensive coordinator, he's at the Colts now. He used to say that I was a throwback, and if I would have been drafted by anybody else at that time, well, there's a few exceptions, but anybody else at that time, I might not have played as long. I mean, he let me, my motor ran high, and he sort of corralled me, and he let me play my style and try to develop for 6 years when we were at the Steelers, plays around me and players around me. Instead of trying to change the way I played, he tried to, you know, develop our offense around that, and he let me play. And then later on in my career, I had to start learning how to play quarterback, really, and read defenses. But before that, we didn't have a great line, and Louie Lips was one of the only receivers we had that was productive. I'm not trying to knock anybody, but Tom used to say, if Louie's not open, you know, do something and make something happen. The reason we drafted you is because you're a good athlete, so go make something happen, which is not beneficial to a quarterback, you know, down the road. But that's all we could do at the time.
Well, let's talk about three quarterbacks that are facing those sorts of evaluations right now with Rex Grossman, Joey Harrington, and David Garrard in Jacksonville. Len Dawson, as you look at these situations, Rex Grossman, most people, I think, when they took a breath, as good as Chicago looked, they knew that Rex had to go through a couple years before they could actually hold him in high esteem. And then there's Joey Harrington, we've just been talking about, Len. Joey Harrington, he's got some receivers, Wes Welker, he's got Chris Chambers. I'm not sure that their running game is established the way they'd like. What do you think Joey Harrington holds in his future?
Well, I think it can be very bright. Now, before Bubby gets away there, now I want to know how long it took Bubby to have his teammates from up north understand what he was saying.
They still can't understand, Lynn. Like, what's
a good
Cajun,
boy, I'll tell you that.
Man, just get
I think Joey Harrington's got the tools. I mean, start with that. Does he have the tools? And that's one thing. And now does he have the mental capacity to grasp everything that's going on around him and to read things on defense and what they're trying to do and try to cut down on his mistakes, yet not being too conservative? But you start with, does he have the tools? And the tools are there. I mean, they've seen that. They saw it in Detroit. They saw it in college. They see it also right now. But he has to put everything together and be more selective on his decisions. I've always felt the quarterback has two things he's got to be able to do. He's got to be able to make the decision as to who to throw the football to, and that is by being able to read defenses and seeing what they're doing. And then he has to know when to pull the trigger. He can't be too late or too early. He's got to be just right, because in the pros, I mean, the ball has to be there when the guy turns around and makes his first move. Let's say it's an out pattern. It's got to be there. And that takes time to develop those things. And you have to be able to do it or you're not going to be successful.
Bubby, we got 1 minute in this segment. Just give us a quick insight into what was different about that Denver team. Now you're leaving the New York Jets after a 3-13 season, didn't have much to do for a year. You come into the Broncos. What was different?
Well, it was a dream come true, actually. I'd known John for a long time and played against the Broncos when I was at the Steelers several times. But being in that organization, Mr. Bolin, you know, he spent money, he got good players, and what was neat, Nick, is being on a team where every guy in every position is as good or better than the other team at those positions. We had all pros all up and down the line, offense and defense and kickers, and when I did get a chance to play, it was really fun knowing that you were surrounded by the world's greatest players. And it was an honor to be on that team, and it was just the right place at the right time, and count my blessings.
When we come back, we're going to be joined by Chris Mortensen, guys, and I want to stick with this theme of quarterbacks. David Garrard, of course, we talked about Damon Hewitt versus Trent Green, talking about Thursday morning quarterback. It may be a little bit in the afternoon for some of you. This is Nick Lauer. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline USA and Sirius Satellite Channel 122. Thanks, Bubby. We love you, buddy.